Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
I was just had a quick look there, by the way. I was watching Katie Hannon up front just during the break. It was on the screen there. Ben Scallon from Quip Media was on. And a load of other people who seem quite delusional, by the way, about Ireland's problem when it comes to immigration. We'll have a wider conversation about it again tonight. But to suggest that we don't have a problem with immigration in this country is just, you obviously have your head stuck deeply in the sand. You know, absolutely, Ireland should be available for those who are coming from war, those who come to this country and their lives are in danger, etc., etc. But Ireland cannot be a free-for-all, particularly when we currently have a housing crisis. We need to get our own shit in order. So to suggest that we don't have a problem in this country is just bananas. Absolutely bananas. Fair play to Ben Scallon from Grip Media, the only one standing up for it there. The rest of them all seem all quite delusional. Anyway, moving on. Back to Margaret. And back to, I want to go to Martin. Margaret, stay there for a second. Let me go to Martin as well. Martin, hi, how are you? Sorry for keeping you all.
Not at all, Niall. I'm well this evening. Good night. And I'd like to say, I hope you will very soon be able to say the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to touch on something you said earlier, there used to be a very common saying, a very common phrase, there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. And maybe in modern parlance, it should be, there's no such thing as an atheist in a hospital bed.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, you look to anybody who can help you. It doesn't matter, by the way, if it's somebody that's spiritual or whatever it is, you look to somebody for a little bit of help.
We'll make a believer of you, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Martin, getting back to cheating, is there any recourse or forgiveness? Because, look, you're a Christian, you're a forgiving man, you believe that the Bible says people should be forgiven. Do you believe that that people who cheat on their partners, like Margaret's husband, should be forgiven?
Hang on, first off, Noel, the Bible doesn't say that a person has to forgive. The Bible recommends that people forgive. But forgiveness, real forgiveness, is only ever given on the basis of real repentance. Like, if there's no repentance, if you say you're forgiving, you're not forgiving, you're tolerating. There's a total difference between forgiveness and toleration. So there's no absolute mandate on forgiveness. Forgiveness is given on the basis of a person being really, truly repentant for something they've done wrong. Now, when it comes to a man cheating on a woman or a woman cheating on a man, I make no distinction whether it be a one-night stand or a three-year affair, whatever. It's all the one as far as I am concerned.
Yeah, because you're deceiving your partner and you're lying to your partner. It's deception.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's not just cheating. As I said in the text there, I view it as theft, because the cheater is, they're stealing your loyalty, they're stealing your love, because what they're doing is they're taking all that from you and they're not giving it back in the same regard. Now,
to go back to what you said about the Bible, if the person is genuinely, who cheated, is genuinely sorry, and genuinely remorseful, and genuinely on their knees begging, I will make it up to you. I'm so sorry. I should have never done this. I love you to bits.
Even within the scriptures, this is covered. You may find that you know, it's in your heart to forgive the person. That doesn't mean that you have to have them back as your spouse. That's not what it means. It means you can forgive that person and just put everything, forgive them. Don't carry anything in your heart with regard to, you know, bad feeling or anything else. But it doesn't mean that you have to take that person back or live a life with them in the future. That's not what it means. Forgiveness doesn't mean that. That's just accommodation. You know, like, now, obviously, you know, I'm going through a divorce, and I'm not going to get on here and slate my wife, okay?
No.
You know,
I'd rather you didn't.
No, well, you know, I wouldn't, Niall. I mean, to a high degree, I still love my wife. I've said it before, I love her for the two daughters she gave me. And through those two daughters, I have five grandchildren, two sons-in-law, all of whom are at the very center of my life. But it's nearly 12 years now since my wife left me. Now, she didn't leave me for another man, but she is now with another man. Mm-hmm. I have never and would never, even though scripturally I would be entitled to a scriptural divorce because I'm still legally married, I can go out, I could have a cup of coffee and a bite to eat with another woman, but there would never, in my mind, there's never an inkling or a thought of, I want to be with this woman. even if I find a woman very attractive, and I'm not stupid, I'm not, you know, I have the same urges and drives as any man. But for me, I think Margaret covered it to a great degree. I stood in front of my creator. I stood in front of my friends, my family, and I made a vow. I made a promise. I gave my word.
To death do us part, yeah.
Exactly. I am a man of my word. And I always remember a conversation. You know, it wasn't exactly the birds and the bees, but I remember a conversation with my father when I was, you know, I was, and this touches on what you were talking about earlier on. I think the real problem is that young men now, young boys, they don't have real manly, I don't mean masculine. I'm not talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm talking about manly men in their life. I remember my father telling me the real mark of a man is loyalty. Loyalty to his God, loyalty to his wife, loyalty to his family.
But that's all well and good, Martin. And in both your situations, and more so in Margaret's, because obviously he cheated, your wife didn't, she just left you, right? They broke the contract. You didn't. Let me finish. You kept your part of the deal. So I believe that negates the contract of marriage. So I don't see anything wrong in the future with either one of you falling in love with somebody else. I think that's okay.
Hang on. What I'm saying is, yes, my wife left me, but she eventually ended up cheating because there was no effort put into getting back together before that happened.
Hang on for a second.
With respect, we were still married.
Martin, hold on. I understand the technicality of it, right? But let's just say for argument's sake, a couple break up, right? And they get separated for whatever reason, right? And they both go their own separate ways. In Ireland, it can take 6 years to get a divorce. And by the way, technically, you're never divorced in the eyes of the church, right? But in Ireland, you unless you get it, what's they call that? A papal annulment or something like that. But in Ireland, you can't get, you could take 6 to 7 years to get a divorce. Are you suggesting to me that if you meet somebody in that 6 to 7 years, you're a cheat? Of course you're not. You're not with the person anymore. Your relationship with them is over.
No, what I'm saying is, I'm not talking about for anyone else. I'm simply giving my perspective as a man. And maybe I'm an anachronism, you know, I'm probably way left the field of most men. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, the fact that my wife and I were separated and, you know, she went, in my opinion, it was because of outside influences. Now, there were other things, but our lives just seemed to diverge. What I thought we had planned on was not what was planned on.
I know. And that's the way most people feel when a relationship breaks down.
The fact is, I entered into a marriage on the basis of a particular idea.
Martin, everybody, I did the same thing. And when my marriage broke down 9 years ago, whatever it was, 2016, you know, to me, it wasn't just losing a wife. It was losing a family. It was losing that future. Yep. It was losing, you know, going to your kids' weddings and the complications involved in that. It was losing all of that security of the family, because I believe the family is ultimately important, right? So to me, that was the devastating part of it. But unfortunately, some things are just not reconcilable because two people just are not compatible anymore because of whatever one might have done or whatever. So you just have to move on with your life.
Niall, I agree with you. Sometimes it's not reconcilable. The point I'm making is, but I stood and I gave a solemn vow. I gave my word. I gave my word. And although, yes, I'm entitled to a scriptural divorce because my wife is now with another man, which, even though we were separated...
But can you still get them? Can you still get a papal annulment? Are they still available?
I'm not talking about a papal annulment. I don't know anything about that. Forget the Catholic Church. I'm not a Catholic. Forget about all that. I'm talking about, on the principle, I'm entitled to a scriptural annulment, the fact that my wife moved on. But I still have, there's still a legal contract there, and I would be as duty-bound to abide by that legal contract as I would by any other contract.
So are you telling me, if you went out tomorrow and met a really nice girl, right? And, I don't know, your senses left you for a few minutes, Martin, and you brought her home and you had sex with her. Are you telling me that's cheating?
What I'm telling you is, Niall, that wouldn't happen.
No, but I know. I'm speaking hypothetically, Martin. Are you telling me that that's... Forget that. Pretend it's not Martin. Pretend it's somebody else in the same situation as Martin.
Hypothetically, if it was cheating, it wouldn't so much be cheating against my wife. It would be cheating against the vow that I made and myself, because the most important person in that vow is me. My word.
Yeah, but I bet your wife doesn't think like that. Your ex-wife, sorry.
Well, obviously she's moved on, and yeah. Honestly, you know, I hope she's really happy. I still have a very high regard for my wife. But, you know, things happen, and
is that not holding you back in your life? Because you have to think of yourself too. The same way as I said to Margaret. Margaret, sorry, let me just come back to Margaret briefly. Margaret, is that not holding you back in your life then? You only got one life.
Going out with somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, dating somebody else.
No, well, not for me personally. I have no interest, because the trust in my marriage was broken.
Did you get a divorce, Margaret, by the way?
Yes.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He left me in 2006, June the 3rd, 2006. And the following year, we were separated. And then 4 years later, we were divorced.
4 years later. Yeah, it takes about four or five years, at least. 5 years. As if things go well.
5 years.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. No. I mean, you know, he kept all the money. And I got the house.
Yeah.
I said to my barrister, I said, there is nothing else I want.
With the greatest respect, I can't talk about the contents of what happened in court, because it's in camera. So whatever happened within the walls of the court is your own business. So I'd rather you don't talk about that on the air, right?
You know, for me personally, as I said, I was asked out a couple of times. And as I said to the people that asked me, I said, thank you very much. I said, no. But you're more than welcome to come in and have a cup of tea or call to me anytime. But I said, just because I said, I know you, I said, and that type of thing. I said, but nothing else. I said, I won't be going out with you or having any meals or anything else or going for a walk with you or anything else.
I'm just looking, by the way, there's a lot of text coming in here, by the way. Somebody said, an annulment is only granted very rarely by the Pope and only on the conditions that the marriage is not consummated. And another person says, Martin, will you tell you what they say? Martin is delusional. She's not his wife anymore. Another person says, once the contract is broken.
Yeah, I understand what people are saying, but the point I'm making is, first off, I'm not a Catholic, so
But
Martin, were you married in a church?
I was married in a church, yes.
Have you lost your religion then?
No, he's a Christian. He's just not a Catholic.
I'm a Christian.
Right.
I'm a Christian.
Okay. Yeah, but you got married.
Yes.
You know, Margaret.
That's not complicated too much. It doesn't matter whether he's a Catholic or Protestant or Church of England.
What I'm trying to explain here is that contractually or morally, there are two sides to that. One, as two people stand up and make a solemn vow, they're making a solemn vow before, if it's a solemn vow made in a church, a synagogue, or whatever, they're standing up before what they regard to be their creator and their family, their friends, and they're making a solemn vow. That's one side of it.
That's the plan, isn't it? That's the plan.
Yeah, but then you have the state side of it. Now, so far, where I am at my stage in life, my wife has broken one side of that contract. Now, technically, scripturally, I would be entitled to go out and take another wife. But I can't take another wife until the state sanctioned that and say, there you go, Martin, there's your divorce.
So what has stopped? I'm just wondering now. I'm just curious, Mary. What has stopped you getting a divorce?
Well, nothing has stopped me. I wasn't all that pushed. She wasn't all that pushed. But now the house will be up for sale, and my wife will. She'll get what she's entitled to out of it, which is basically half of it, even though she hasn't been in it.
Let's not get into the ins and outs of what way that's all separated. Again, that's family law, and I can't get into that on the air. Okay, I'm going to read out one or two more texts before I finish this up. I believe Martin is using his beliefs as a protection to not face the true reality of the breakup and move on. And somebody else says, Margaret is correct if he married in a Catholic church.
No, I'm looking forward to moving on. Mm. I'm looking forward to... Once I get a divorce, and legally, I am entitled to move on, it will allow me then to use my personal, my beliefs, my, you know...
Yeah, but if I had a thought like you, I would have never met Karen.
Pardon?
If I had a thought like you, I would have never met Karen, who is the most amazing, beautiful woman in the world.
And I've met Karen. She is. She's wonderful. She's amazing and she's beautiful. And I know you're very happy together. She's a great wife.
Yeah, but it took 6 or 7 years for me to get divorced. And I met Karen during that period.
I understand. But yeah. You can't apply one rule to everyone. You're always going to have outliers. And yes, I accept I am that outlier. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't enjoy female company. I most certainly do. I enjoy going out for a bite to eat. You know, go out for a meal, go out for a cup of coffee. It wouldn't happen that often. We both, you and I know, have somebody in common, someone we know that I've been out with, and we're going to be going out again and we'll have a meal. I don't know where that may or may not go, but for the moment, until I would be declared to be, yes, you're separated in every regard, all the ducks have to be in a row for me. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that.
No, by the way, I'm only reading out the text. No, I respect your view, Martin, and that's your view, and I do have respect for it, you know? But again, I'm reading out just the text there coming in. Somebody else says he needs to move on. Life is too short. He could find great happiness if he overcame his fears. He's stopping himself. And then somebody else says, so basically he won't go near a woman until he legally gets divorced.
Again, you see, people are making comments and they don't even know me.
They're just basing it on what you're saying, I suppose.
I understand that, but what they're hearing is, They're hearing my side of a conversation with you. If I was to sit down and have a conversation with them and answer questions repeatedly, they may see my side of it. If they don't, I can walk away happy anyway.
I can actually...
Sorry, Margaret, very quickly, go on.
Sorry, I can actually understand where Martin's coming from now, that he wants all his ducks in a row as regards whenever his divorce is going to be final. And that would be... That'll be it sealed. So then he becomes a free person.
Well, listen, both of you, unfortunately I've run out of time. I should have actually moved on to the other topic by now. Martin, thank you very much indeed. And by the way, Martin, I'm not having a go. I respect your views, by the way, and you know I do. Mm. I have great respect for your views and your morality. And Margaret, thank you very much indeed. You're a lovely person.
Not at all.
All right, thank you, both of you. All right, I want to move on after the break and talk about tattoos. Believe it or not, 35% of Irish have at least one tattoo. Jeez, I didn't think it was that high. 35% of you have a tattoo, averaging around 2 tattoos per person. That's a fair jump from the days when tattoos were mostly just for sailors and rock stars. Anyway, these days everyone's getting inked, as they say, from your granny to the postman. But here's the kicker. While tattoos are more popular than ever, not everyone's thrilled with their ink choice. Around 25% of folks admit they regret getting their tattoos, and 5% are actively in the process of having them removed. So the tattoo removal business is actually bigger now than the tattoo business itself. Seems like what they felt like in the 20s may not suit them when they're 40 years of age. So are tattoos just a harmless way to show off your personality, or have we gone a little bit overboard on inking ourselves and using ourselves as a canvas? Are they a form of self-expression, or do they just look common? There is that stigma still attached to a tattoo. Let me give you a quick example. You own a business, and it's a hotel, and you want somebody for the front desk. Okay? 5-star hotel. You want somebody for the front desk. It's a bank. You want somebody for the cash desk. Somebody with responsibility for giving out money. Taking people's money. And 2 people come for an interview. They're both equally qualified for the job. But one of them is covered in tattoos. You can actually see the tattoos just under their shirt coming out onto their hand. You can see the tattoos just coming up their neck slightly. But the other person, and they're both equally qualified, by the way. But the other person has no tattoos. Okay? Let's say they're both men. Because I don't want to bring gender into it. Or they're both women, whatever it is. So it's not a man and a woman. They're both the same gender. So, sex. Sorry, I shouldn't use the word gender. Sex. Let's go back to using the word sex. It's easier, okay? So, would you frown upon the person with the tattoo? Would you hire the other person? Remember the type of job it is. So is there still a stigma attached to having tattoos? Let us know what you think.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.